Well, thank you, ladies, for that. I hope everybody is thankful for the love that God has shown to us. Open your Bibles, please, to James chapter number 4. James 4. Again, well, thank you for being here. Always very grateful, very thankful for God's people. You know, we ought to thank God for each other. Can I just tell you something? In these last days we live in, if you've got a Christian friend, you've got a brother or sister that you can gather with in the house of God, you ought to really be thankful, because times are going to get tougher. I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just trying to be realistic. And we ought to thank God for each other. I thank God for you. Thank God for our military. Thank God for those who have served. Thank God for Chelsea, drives all the way up here from the Air Force Base in Little Rock or Jacksonville to be in our services. And thank God for her. And, of course, she knows good preaching when she hears it. Really, I hadn't asked her this, but I think I'm probably second best on her list. I think Brother Wido takes top position. Brother Wido's a good guy. I love him. James chapter 4, we'll be reading the first 10 verses. Now, tomorrow is Veterans Day. And when we think of veterans, we think of our military, what do we think of? We think about protection and warfare. We think about warfare. And so I want to preach a message today entitled, How is Your Warfare of Prayer? How is your warfare of prayer? How is it? Are you prepared? Our military has to be prepared to defend our nation, but are you prepared with the battle you fight? There is an enemy, and it's the devil. And the whole armor of God comes as we submit to the Lord and we pray. And warfare, part of it is identifying the enemy and then going about the warfare with valid battlefield principles. Now, you know this, I'm sure, but the military doesn't just go out there and like a bunch of unpracticed people who have not had any principles taught to them. Our military is prepared through training, and they go out and they use tactics, principles that are proven to be effective. And today we're going to be talking about principles of prayer, because God is not capricious and whimsical when it comes to answering prayer. God answers prayer according to the principles that He's laid down in His Word. God does not just decide, well, I think I'll answer her prayer today. Tomorrow I'll answer his prayer. Maybe the next day I'll answer hers. God has rules by which He answers prayer. Do you know those rules? And if we do, we can pray and be effective in it. Now, James chapter number 4 and verse number 1, James begins by asking the question, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Now, look up here just for a moment. Let's stop there just for a second. James is bringing to light in this first passage that we've read the fact that some people can't get along with other people because they can't get along with themselves. Look at it again. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? And so he's saying, if these people who fight outwardly, they're probably fighting outwardly because they're fighting inwardly. Are you with me? He says, ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? That word enmity means warfare. If some people are at warfare with God and don't even know it. Then he says, whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now, and may the Holy Spirit of God make the Word of God plain to us so that we understand the principles of prayer and how to fight the battle of this Christian life in an acceptable way according to your Word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, James is intensely practical. James is a practical preacher. He's not delving into the high and hard to understand things of God. He's given us things that the problem is they're just real easy to be understood, and they hit us right smack dab in the face. That's how practical James is. And he's not a philosopher. He's not a theoretician. He is a practical preacher. And boy, he's given it to us just like we can use it. Man, and isn't that what we really need today? A lot of practical preaching. Something that's going to help us where the rubber meets the road. We don't need a lot of theory. We just need some real stuff that'll help us. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to see three things that really stand out to us in these 10 verses. And let's look at them together. Number one, the first of the three things is the unasked prayer of a struggling man. The unasked prayer of a struggling man. James pictures a man who is struggling. Listen, he's picturing a man who is struggling to get what he wants, but he's not asking God. He's struggling, but there's an unasked prayer. Now look at it again with me. He says in the very first verse, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. There's the man's problem. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? You have not because you ask not. And yet, how many times do we fail? We've went to see the banker before we asked God. We went to the psychologist before we asked God. We went and asked advice of those out in the world who have not a clue of what the Word of God says before we read the Bible. And you have not because you ask not. Shouldn't we ask God first? And that's what he's talking about here. Lusting and scheming and warring and fighting and killing. And yet he says, you didn't even ask God. Man, we go about it every way under the sun trying to get what we want. Didn't go through the proper channel. God has principles. And that first principle is that you've got to ask. What happens if we don't ask? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. And so, if we don't ask, we don't get. Now, he's not talking about going out and asking everybody else. He's talking about asking God. Prayer. A couple of things about that. Number one, you miss a blessing by not asking. You miss a blessing. You miss what you could have had by not asking. A little boy was trying to move a huge stone, and his daddy saw him out there in the yard trying to move this big old rock. And his daddy said, son, are you putting out all of your strength? And the little boy said, I sure am, Dad. The dad said, no, you're not, son. You're not putting out all your strength. You didn't ask me to help you. How many times do we put forth strength? We try to make things happen without asking Him. You say, well, that sounds pretty elementary. It is, and that's where most of us fail. We don't fail in the high things of God that's hard to understand. We generally fail in the simple things. How's your warfare going in your prayer? And so many times. We're trying to do things in all of our strength, and we don't rely upon the Heavenly Father and ask Him to apply His strength. Now, there's a second thing about this. Not only do we miss a blessing by not asking, number two, we sin by not praying, by not asking. And did you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, when Samuel was having a tough time getting some spirituality into the king of that time named Saul. Saul is, he's just kind of an idiot, to be honest with you. He started off well, and then he tried to do things in his own power. And here's what Samuel the prophet said. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Listen to that again. See if you can tell if this is pretty plainly a sin not to pray. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I don't mind telling you, President Obama is not my favorite president. I mean, he believes everything just about totally opposite of what I do. I think he's done a lot to hurt our nation, and I think he's done it on purpose. Now, that's my honest opinion. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to, and if you want to really think he's the best president, that's your privilege. But it dawned on me that I ought to be praying for him. And I do pray for him. I don't want to be like him, and I want him to do some things differently, but I think it would be a sin for me to cease praying for him. Are you with me? You may be struggling in a marriage, and you may be having some disagreements with your spouse, but it would be a sin for you to stop praying for them. And Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And so when God, listen, when God gives you a prayer assignment and you don't do it, what is it? It's sin. If God instructs you to pray for somebody and you don't do it, it's sin. And that's what he's trying to get across here. Luke 18 and verse number 1, it says, and he spake, Jesus speaking here, he says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You'll know this one. Very short little phrase. It says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Keep on praying. In other words, be in a continual mode of prayer. I mean, listen, doesn't the Holy Spirit live within the Christian's heart? He does. And if He's that near, how crazy is it for me to go through the day and not talk to the Lord? And so, as we go through our day, the Bible teaches that we ought to pray without ceasing. Everything ought to be handled in an attitude, in a spirit of prayer. Every situation. How many times? The Bible talks about here in the book of James, in another place, it talks about bridling the tongue and what a little member it is that's set on fire of hell. You know, if we were to be in an attitude of prayer, we would probably catch ourselves and guard ourselves a lot better about blurting out things that's hurtful to other people. I need more amens than that. If we pray continually and we stay in an attitude of prayer, it's going to make a difference in our lives. Doesn't God tell us to pray without ceasing? Well, sure He does. John Bunyan said in Pilgrim's Progress, here's what he said, listen to this. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, but sin will make a man cease from prayer. It's true, isn't it? Now, there's not a problem in my life that wouldn't be made a lot better if I would only pray. Pray continually about everything. Jesus told His disciples in Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray. Why? Lest ye enter into temptation. So what's the key? If you want to steer clear of temptation and come out of the test on top with victory, He told His disciples, pray so you won't be tempted or you won't give in to the temptation. And so, friend, the devil is our enemy. And when we don't pray, listen, look up here. When we don't pray, we're failing to utilize the whole armor of God. Pray. Number two, we just talked about the unasked prayer of a struggling man. Now, number two, we're going to talk about the unanswered prayer of a selfish man. The first man, what was his problem? He didn't ask. What's the problem with the second man? Look at it in the Scripture and you'll see. He asked, but he asked the wrong way. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not. Did you know not every prayer is answered, is it? Not every prayer is answered. And some prayers are not answered and shall never be. Because they ought not to be. Because we ask wrong. Now look, he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask what? Amiss. What does that mean? Wrongly. Wrong reason. Wrong motive. And so he says, you ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And then he says, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, what did we say enmity was a little while ago? Enmity is warfare with God. Now, as Christians, we're going to be in warfare, but it ought not to be against God. We ought to be in warfare along with God, battling the same evil forces. And he says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, look up here. If we set out to be just like the world, we don't want to be weird like the Bible says. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Now, some people set out to be peculiar, and that's not what it's talking about. If you just live according to the Bible, you will be peculiar enough as it is. Now, some people want to see how weird they can be. And that's not what it's talking about. He's talking about just living a holy and godly life, and by this old world around us. And when he talks about the world, he's not talking about the rocks and the trees and the rivers and the mountains, right? He's talking about the world. He's talking about the world system, the evil world that has been set in motion and ruled over by Satan himself. When you look around you, when you look at the nightclub life in Las Vegas, and you look at all the heathen activities that go on in our world, and you look at the strip joints and the drunkenness and the drugs and the crime, now that's not of God. Who's that from? That's of the devil. And he says, when you're a friend of those things, you're an enemy of God. Now it's that simple. You love the things of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. I didn't make that up. That's not a Baptist doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. And when you love the things of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now, how are we the enemies of God? Well, it's when we begin to love the things that God hates. He likens it here to adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is when two people are married and one of them finds them another boyfriend or girlfriend. And they start flirting and having an affair. That's adultery. And you and I, who are saved, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Can you say amen right there? We're the bride of Christ. And so we have, as the bride of Christ, we have a groom. Who is he? Who's the bridegroom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bridegroom. And so the church, the saved people, are the wife of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. And so when we begin to have some flirting and too close of association with this old world in which we live in, we are committing spiritual adultery. And he says when that happens, we become the enemies of God. Now, think with me just for a minute. What are we talking about? We're talking about not getting prayers answered. God answers prayers according to principle. If we don't ask, we don't receive. And if we ask wrongly, we don't get them answered. And so one of the ways that we can get on the wrong side of God in this thing of prayer is when we become way too buddy-buddy and start lusting after the things of the world. Are you with me so far? Now think. Say there's a man who is saved, and he is getting real close to the things of the world.
He loves the things that the devil would love. He hangs out in the places where the devil would haunt. And so this man then turns around and he has a need and he prays to God. And he says, Lord, I need something. And the Bible says, if we involve ourselves in the sinful attractions of the world, it says God will not hear us. He doesn't want to. You see, God chooses not to hear. I was thinking yesterday, back in the 50s, where I grew up in Mount Pleasant, Arkansas, there was a little cafe. It was Opal's Cafe in Mount Pleasant, a little town of probably at the time 150 people. And there's this little cafe, and Opal had home cooking, and she'd cook every day there in the little cafe, and some of the local people would come in and eat. Well, Opal's husband was, they called him Judge McSpadden. Judge was hard of hearing. And Gobbler Hames, that was his nickname. Everybody had a nickname around there. And Gobbler was about the same age as Judge. And Gobbler was hard of hearing. And so sometimes they carried on conversations that neither one of them knew what was going on. Gobbler came in one day, and they came in a little bit late after he figured maybe all of Opal's cooking was already gone, but he came in anyway, and he walked up and sat down on the little stool there at the old soda fountain type counter, and Judge was there, and Opal was back in the kitchen washing up. He said, Judge, you got anything to eat? Judge said, yeah, the Cardinals got beat. He said, well, just let it go. I didn't figure you'd have anything by now. I wasn't hungry that much anyway, and he turned and walked out. You know what the problem is sometimes among Christians is we don't hear God, and He doesn't hear us by choice. He chooses not to hear us when we have become too close and are committing spiritual adultery. Now, think with me just a little bit further in this illustrative thing. We're talking about people not getting a prayer answered because of their too close connection with worldly things. Let's say there's a man and a woman who is married, and the woman is having an affair with another man. And she comes in and tells her husband, she says, hey, husband, I'd like to have the keys to the car, and I'd like to have a few $100s, too. And he says, well, where are you going? And she said, well, me and my boyfriend, we're going to go out to Las Vegas and spend a week together out there having some fun. Now, do you really think that husband is going to say, sure, let's see here. Yeah, here's the keys. Is 500 enough? Oh, 1,000. Okay, 1,000. Is he likely to do that? No, if she's committing adultery, if she's having fun with somebody else and she is committing spiritual adultery against her husband, he's not going to do that. Now, do you think that maybe God feels that way? That's an earthly illustration to just emphasize a holy God in heaven who is much more holy than an earthly husband would be. God's not interested in answering prayers for somebody that's committing spiritual adultery. The worldly Christian prays and says, God, give me strength. Well, why would he? If somebody's committing adultery with the world, why would God want to make them stronger? Somebody prays for healing and says, well, Lord, I've got some bad health and I want you to heal me. And all the time that person's living in spiritual adultery, loving the world, hooting it up, having a big time with the world. Is God interested? See, some people today, there is this thing, this tolerance thing that's going on today among many Christians where God's just a great big old Santa Claus. He's just a big jelly belly and He's got everything and He's not against anything. You know, He's not against any sin and you just live like you want to and you whore around with the world and when you need something, just climb up in my lap and tell me what you need. That's not the way God operates. And so people don't get what they ask for because they ask amiss. Number three, the last point. The unhindered prayer of a spiritual man. So we have first the unasked prayer of a struggling man. Then we have the unanswered prayer of a selfish man. And now we have the third one, the unhindered prayer of the spiritual man. Let me make a statement. Look here. It ought not to be an unusual thing. Are you with me? It ought not to be an unusual thing for a Christian to get their prayers answered. Why should that be unusual? In fact, it ought to be more unusual for a Christian not to get their prayers answered. The normal thing would be for them to have their prayers answered. Let me give you very quickly, and you can jot them down and study them out on your own. Number one, let me give you five things, five principles of prayer that will help you. These will help you. I've told you what the problem is. Now let's look at the answer. I don't want to get you hurt and not rescue you. So here's the answer. Five principles of prayer. God, we said at the very beginning, didn't we, that God works and answers prayer according to principle. He is not whimsical. He's not like us. He's not on again, off again. He's not just deciding He might answer your prayer and He might not, just depending on how He feels. He's not like some of us who have our days where we're on top of the world and we're everybody's friend, and the next day we'll spit on anybody who gets close to us. God is not like that. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and He answers prayers according to the rules. And here are the rules. Number one, there must be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 5. There must be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Now what is the Spirit that dwells in the Christian? It's the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Now what does that mean? Lusteth to envy. Listen to this. It's not talking about a sexual lust. The word lust just means to have a strong desire for. And so since this is the Holy Scriptures talking about a holy God who is lusting to envy after us, what is this lust? It's a strong desire to have our heart fully surrendered to Him. That's what He's talking about. He's saying, I don't want you to be friends with the world. I want you to be friends with Me. The Bible says that Abraham was called the friend of God. Don't you think maybe we'd get more prayers answered if we were the friend of God instead of friends of the world? And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, you can't sip on the cup of the Lord with one hand and sip the cup of the devil with the other hand. We can't do it. You can't belong to both. You'll either hate one and cling to the other. You need to be His or the devil's. Now, which one sounds like the better choice? God doesn't want us hanging on to the world and lusting after the world. He is very jealous. The Bible says He is a jealous God and He wants all of us. Now, first to have our hearts surrendered to Him. Now, let me give you the second thing. There must be a submission to the Father. James 4, 6 and 7. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, when a person comes to the point in their life where they say, you know, having prayers answered is an important thing. Can I just tell you that right now, that you may have everything going your way right now, and you may not be depending a lot on prayer, but the time will probably come. The time will probably come when getting your prayer answered will be the most important thing in the world to you. After you've heard the doctor say of your child, he has leukemia and we don't have a cure. The doctors can't do anything. Then what can the world do for you? Not a thing. But we still have a God in heaven, and that's when we need to be able to get a hold of Him and get an answer. You see, when the team is out practicing, going through their drills on Monday through Friday, it might look like a lot of effort for nothing, but when the big game comes, they better be practiced up and ready to face the opposition. And the time may come when you've got a spouse who is about to walk out on you, and you don't know what to say to bring this thing under control. Everything's going to depend on whether you can pray and get an answer to your prayer. And you better be surrendered to the Father at that time. better be able to say, as it says in Luke 22:42, not my will but thine, and we better do it ahead of time, friend. Because if we wait until the last minute, until we really need to call on God, then we'll think He's a big Santa Claus, and Santa Claus won't be there. We need to be praying and surrendered now. Number three, there must be a standing against the devil. In James 4:7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that's what we need to do. We need to resist him. Hey, we live in a time when Christians don't, listen, Christians don't want to fight. It's easier just to lay down and play possum when the world is coming at us like a freight train headed straight at us and we don't want to fight. But friend, the Bible says that in the book of Jude that we are to contend for the faith. And we need to fight for our children. We need to say, hey, I'm not going to let my kids go to places where the devil is going to steal their mind. I'm not going to let them on internet sites and watch TV programs and listen to music that is glorifying the devil. And parents are failing there right and left, friend. I know it's not popular to preach against things like rock music today because so many people like it and it's invading our churches, but you listen to me. When we don't stand against it, we build a bridge for them so they can easily cross over to the devil worship and the drug culture and the immoral culture that says live for today. And that's where we're failing. We're not fighting. And the Bible says that we are to stand, resist the devil. And he will flee from you. And that brings me to the fourth thing. There must be a separation from the world. Look again at verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Did you hear that? Draw nigh to God. When you get close to God, what happens? Look here. If this is God over here, and this is the world over here, this is the Hollywood crowd, and this is the rock crowd, and this is the politically correct crowd, and this is the homosexual crowd, and this is the world. And over there is God. When you draw nigh to God, what happens back behind you? You're getting further away, aren't you? When you draw closer to Him, you won't have that attraction to the world. And the reason some people have such a strong attraction to the world is they don't get close to God. Trying to pull back from the world will not make you a good Christian, but when you become a good Christian, you will be pulling away from the world. It happens. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So what does James say? Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. You double-minded, you can't love God and love the world at the same time. And so we're talking about warfare. So what do we do? Hey, tell that harlot, the world is a harlot with which Christians commit spiritual adultery. Tell that harlot, hey, I've had an affair with you, but it's over. I'm not running with you anymore. It's done. The affair is finished. And cling to God. You see, cleanse your heart. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. That indicates repentance and a new direction. Number five, and I'm done. There must be a soberness of purpose. Verse number 9, he says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. And your joy to heaviness, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. James 4:9-10. What's He saying? When it comes to prayer, hey, I'm not against having fun. If you've been around me at all, you know I like to joke and have a good time and play tricks on people and do all kinds of funny things. When Brother Denny came in this morning, I stuck my hand out to shake hands with him. It's awful for a Baptist preacher to do. Brother Denny came up and stuck his hand out, and I stuck my hand out, and just before he grabbed it, I reached up and scratched my head like that. He said, oh, you got me. Now, I like to joke. I mean, Brother Al and I go on all the time. But there's time to be serious. And when it comes to getting our prayers answered, friend, it's time to get serious. It's time to get dead dog serious and be right with God. Did you know that prayer is work? We say, our theme is faith works. And somebody who has faith will work for God. Did you know that prayer is hard work? Let me ask you, I want to be honest with each other just for a minute. You don't have to hold your hand up. Be honest in your own heart. Have you ever decided to pray and your mind just wants to trail off somewhere else? Have you ever tried to pray and all of a sudden there'll be silly things come into your mind that have nothing to do with what you need to be praying about? Do you ever start to pray and you just get sleepy? Do you ever, well, that's because some of you pray on Saturday night about 1 o'clock in the morning while you're laying in the bed. You know, when I pray, a lot of times it turns out to be a battle. There's warfare there. You know why? Because the devil intrudes into your thoughts. Do you remember when just before the crucifixion of Jesus, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before the crucifixion, the Bible says that Satan put it into the heart of Judas to betray him? Who put it there? Satan. Now, Satan can't read your mind, but he does have the ability to plant thoughts in your mind. And the old saying is, you can't keep a bird from landing in your hair, but you can keep it from building a nest there. And when the devil throws something into our mind, we have to work at putting it out. You know why we're that way? Because the flesh cannot be brought under the law of God. And the flesh does not want to pray. And so that's why we need to be surrendered to God and be filled with the Spirit, because as we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're able to pray better. But if we've got the things of the world and the lust of the flesh in our thoughts, we cannot be very effective, because our thoughts are going to be somewhere else. And it takes work to pray. We just need to tell the Lord that we're on His side, tell the devil that we're not having anything to do with his thoughts, and set out to be a Spirit-filled Christian who knows how to pray according to the principles of God. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the pianist is coming. Now, let me ask you this. Would you just be really, really straightforward and honest in your own heart with yourself? I don't need to know. But between you and God, how's your prayer life? Are you getting prayers answered? Are you asking for stuff that never comes to pass? Do you think it's because God just doesn't care about you? Do you think that maybe just God's got other plans and He's just kind of set you on to the sideline and He's done with you? I don't think so. He doesn't want to be done with you. What God wants is for His children to get serious about prayer and using prayer in our warfare against the dirty devil as he tries to attack in our lives and in our families and in our churches. If you have a problem praying, and you have a problem getting prayers answered, won't you make a commitment to the Lord this morning that I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to start studying the Word of God concerning prayer, and I'm going to get my prayers offered up higher than the ceiling fan. I'm going to get them all the way to heaven. Make that commitment. Maybe you're not saved this morning. Then there's one prayer, and one prayer only, that God's interested in from you, and that's the prayer of repentance and faith, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you trust Him this morning? Father, I pray that You'd bless the invitation. Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God have full submission from everyone under the sound of my voice, that each of us, Lord, would be honest and open with You. And Lord, if our hearts are not right, there's been some enmity between us and You, Lord, point it out in our lives. If we've been flirting with the world, Lord, help us to say, the affair is over. My faithfulness belongs to the Bridegroom, and to Him I commit myself this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.